Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. We record these podcasts on the top floor of the McHugh Center, and directly below us are the football offices, which is where you can often find today's guest, head football coach Bronco Mendenhall. Bronco, thank you for joining the show.
Glad to be here.
Before we talk about spring practice, let me ask you a question. Did anyone in the UVA football family have a better weekend than your student intern, Lauren Coughlin?
Man, it's hard to imagine that, winning an ACC championship, becoming engaged, and then getting ready to graduate again, and then most likely, and from what I heard from her today, turning pro. That's a pretty good little stretch.
Yeah, it was. It's been almost 4 months to the day since you coached BYU in the Las Vegas Bowl, after which your full attention turned to the UVA program. You came here with ambitious goals. Have the 4 months been as productive as you hoped they'd be?
Yeah, I've had an amazing 4 months. I've loved the relationships with our players. I've been re-energized by a new challenge, a new opportunity, and the growth that I've seen. And I see nothing but great opportunities going ahead.
The Who's Rising phrase, hashtag, whatever you want to call it, was introduced around National Signing Day. It's really caught on. Who deserves credit for coming up with that?
Man, I think that's probably Vic Soto. He's a graduate assistant coach. His wife, Ashley, used to be my former personal assistant at BYU. And as we love to celebrate Signing Day, it just kind of emerged out of all the fun we were having. And when we all heard it, it was clear that was it. And the switch flipped. And we like it because it's present tense, and it's also directional, meaning rising, not risen. And that's, I think, a movement rather than an event.
Spring ball started last month for your team. You've completed 12 of the 15 practices, I believe, that college teams are allowed. What are your thoughts on the progress of the team so far?
A lot of progress in terms of accountability, a lot of progress in terms of the work capacity and the culture. And a lot of progress in terms of conditioning and work ethic. And eventually execution will catch up, and eventually what really good football looks like will catch up. But it's sequential, and I'm really comfortable with the work we've gotten done. But our intent is to use every bit of every minute of the next 3 days before spring practice ends to get as much work in as we can.
When I talked to Coach McNeil, I think it was last week, he said at least at that point, you know, the defense was still very rudimentary in terms of how much had been put in. You hadn't put in the nickel packages or anything. Is the same true on offense? And how far along do you think you'll be with that part of it by the end of the spring?
Not very far on either side, just basic concepts. So our intent was not the volume of calls, but really to build the culture and then expose our team to enough of the concepts that are core elements of our program to branch off of, certainly not looking to accomplish everything. And with that, that'll be plenty in terms of a foundation to carry through the summertime before we report back in August.
You've been asked several times about the talent level in the program. Now that you've actually had some time to work on the field with the players, how do you see that part of it?
I think it's a great starting place. I think we have a solid team. We don't have a great depth, but we have some really good players and key positions to build on. And really the initiative kind of has three parts. If you have the baseline of talent and you look to continue the talent acquisition part, if you're building the culture and the work capacity to put those players in, and then we get the organizational design right within the program, we'll end up having a good program and for a long time.
Starting in January with Frank Wintrick's strength and conditioning program, the players have been challenged physically and mentally, maybe more than they ever have before in their careers. With all that, there seems to be a huge buy-in on their part. Have you been happy with that, and did you expect there to be more attrition?
I expected quite a bit more attrition. I expected more resistance. I expected to have to fight for credibility, possibly harder. I wasn't really sure what we'd expect. What to expect. We gave Coach Wintrick one extra week with 9 weeks of off-season work to get ready for what our practices look like. And I would certainly hope there isn't a player on our team that has ever been pushed as hard mentally and physically. If they have, then I don't think I'm doing my job. I hope this is pushing them right to the point where they really have to question why are they doing it, because I think that's the fundamental question, and when you get that answered, you can do about anything. But I've really been encouraged by how the players have fought back and how they've unified, and we love doing hard things together, and that's it appears that they enjoy it.
You have a large recruiting class arriving in the summer. Those players will not have the benefit of 9 weeks with Coach Wentrick and spring practice before rolling into training camp. How do you get young players who are young to begin with up to speed and up to a point where you can use them in the fall if you want to?
Well, so at BYU, we played the third most freshmen in college football last year, and so we have a strong model. And really what will happen is the 9 weeks that our current team just went through, when the freshmen arrive in the summer, they'll basically replicate those 9 weeks prior to fall camp. That does not mean they'll be caught up, but that will give them a foundational, I would say, similarity comparable to what our other team, our existing team, has had. But from there, freshmen have to do extra work if they expect to play. And so the normal meeting times won't be enough. The normal practice won't be enough. And so really, as a freshman or first years, they have to work above and beyond what a normal player would, simply to not only catch up, but then to have a chance to compete. If they're driven enough, and if they show up with that mindset, though, they will, and they can.
Will they have tempo runs to complete?
Sure.
As the older?
Yeah, every player in our program has to qualify for practice, and our players returning will have to requalify. So nothing ever goes away, and with each standard that's passed, there's a new standard and a higher standard that then has to be passed to continue.
How long have you been, have tempo runs been part of your coaching philosophy?
Coach Wentrick added the term tempo run to his training. There's always been, in any warrior culture or any kind of elite fighting force or in any really high-performing group, you're not just given an invitation and then you show up. There's always some rite of passage that you have to cross over or transcend to be considered a member of. And really the principle is what we're after, not so much the tempo run, but having to qualify is something we think is important.
How are team captains chosen in your program?
Team captains will be chosen at the end of fall practice, fall camp before our first game, and the team will vote based on the best representatives of our program, not the best players, but the best representatives of all the things that we think are really important.
The Spring Football Festival is Saturday afternoon at Scott Stadium. It's free for fans. Gates open at 2 o'clock with the football portion of it scheduled to start at 4. Have you settled on a format? And if so, what's it look like?
I would say settling, but for the most part, it will be, I'm not going to say an exact normal practice, but the fans will have a chance to see us work. And there'll be football mixed in, and there'll be some live work mixed in. But again, every minute of every day is important to us, and so we intend just to go to work, and the fans can come watch, and I think they'll be impressed with what they see in terms of the organization and the transitions and the unity and the effort, and they'll see some football as part of that, but we're no way are we going to compromise a day of work for a spring game, because really the real football starts, and we start keeping score in the fall.
Did you play a traditional spring game at BYU?
We usually played, it depended. As the seasons went on and as the years went on, most of the time it was kind of a younger player emphasis, and so the players that we knew were going to be significant contributors, which wasn't difficult after being there 11 years, they usually rested on that day, and the younger players, which were fighting for number two spots and special teams roles possibly, they carried the majority of the work.
The end of the semester and final exams are fast approaching for the players. What's next for the coaches when spring practice ends?
On the road spring recruiting immediately. By going an extra week of off-season conditioning before spring started, that means that we're 1 week after the fact. The coaches could go on the road. And so we thought it was a good trade at the time to get our current team ready, but there's no time to waste to get on the road. As most coaching staffs that take over a program, you're really doing the most challenging type of recruiting, and that same year recruiting, meaning that there's not a bunch of exposure and background with 2017 players. And so we're not only doing 17, but we're doing 18.
There were those who questioned how well you'd be able to recruit in this part of the country, having no ties to the East Coast. That does not seem to have been an issue at all for you and your staff. Is your pool of targets bigger here than it was at BYU?
Our pool is significantly larger. And I'm not sure there's a place that has as specific as a pool of BYU as BYU, which doesn't mean that's a bad thing. But we certainly have more choices. The academic standards, at least for the athletic program, are something we're very familiar with and used to. The conduct of the students and what's expected at University of Virginia, we're very comfortable and have experience with that. The number of choices is far greater than what we expected, and the reception has been perfect. So certainly time will tell, but we're optimistic about the talent that we can draw.
You recently invited UVA football alumni back for a weekend in Charlottesville, and there was an incredible turnout of players who had played in the 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way up to last season. What's it been like for you to meet many of the great players who've come through this program?
It's fantastic. I think, you know, quality of life is tied directly to relationships, and our former players want our program to succeed. They clearly express their support. They're excited for the direction. There is hope. There is optimism, and that was abounding, and they would love to see us be successful. Around almost 300, maybe 270-ish players, and with families, there was close to 700 people that showed up, which was an amazing turnout. And they're just there's a passion for this program. There's a real desire that it can become exceptional and competitive and of championship quality and caliber, and that's what the players would like to see. Through the entire process, though, doing it the right way without cutting corners with the right type of young people.
I also saw Coach Welsh at the practice that morning. Have you been able to spend any time with him?
Just a minute here or there. Coach Welsh is on the second floor quite a bit. I love having not only him around, but our former players. And I think one of the first exchanges we had, it was in the break room on the second floor. And I said, Coach, man, what? I didn't say, man. I said, Coach, what kind of advice do you have? And tell me what you think. And he just he said one word. He said, recruiting. And so he went right to the heart of what usually drives the performance.
For a while after you moved to Charlottesville, the Mendenhall family was staying at a local hotel. Mm. Your living arrangement now is a little more unorthodox, is it not?
Yeah, unorthodox is a good word. I think that's fair. We were in the Residence Inn for 3 months, and then we bought a beautiful piece of property and a home that we're making some changes to, and we're trying to consider or sort out where we might live in the meantime. And somehow or another, the term or the thought of an RV came up, and we went shopping and we drove home with an RV, and we're living in that. Myself, Holly, and the three boys, and we're closer literally than we've ever been.
I'm guessing you haven't had time to do any surfing since you've been on the East Coast, but your motorcycle is another matter. Was that your Harley I saw at the stadium the other day?
That was my Harley you saw at the stadium, and that is it is not surfing, but man, it's maybe a half a step below, which is still great.
What is a typical work day like for you? You get to the McHugh Center early, right?
Yeah, a typical day, and it depends a little bit time of year-wise, but for instance, today I'm here usually between 5:30, 5:45, have some solitude before meetings. Players show up. We have on non-practice days, we have players lifting and meeting starting at 6 o'clock. I usually sit in on meetings and really then provide feedback for our coaches after I watch the meetings. So that's from 6 to 8. We have a staff meeting at 8:30. That usually goes till about 10. Then offensive and defensive meetings from 10 till 12. 12 to 2 is personal time. 2, other than times I have podcasts like we're doing right now, 2 to 4, offense, defense, 4 o'clock, again, recruiting till about 5. 5 to 6, more personal time. 6 to 7, 6 to 6:30-ish, driving home, and then with the family after that.
A couple of practical questions. Anyone who's been following the program this spring knows the players do not have numbers on their jerseys because they haven't earned them yet. When Frank Wintrick, your director of performance, was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, I asked him about the challenge of identifying players without numbers when they have their helmets on, and he says he's gotten to where he can tell them apart by the way they walk and run and carry themselves on the field. Same for you?
Same. And so it's been a valuable experience. There are name tags on the front of the helmets, but from the distance that we see them, that really doesn't help. Or in most cases, it doesn't. But it's not hard to then gauge movement patterns. And certainly we know which positions players are playing. And I think it's helped our staff actually get to know our players even better.
Along those lines, when you take over a football program, as you did in December, you suddenly have dozens and dozens and dozens of new faces and names to learn. How do you go about doing that?
Well, we came up with a pretty cool idea, my boys and I. So we had Dot Kirby, my personal assistant, make flashcards. And so on the front would have the player's picture, and on the back would have the position where they're from and what year they were. And then at night in the hotel, my boys would quiz me. And so they were doing their homework, and I was doing my homework. And it took me quite a while before I made it all the way through with no misses. But, we got it. It's good. I highly recommend it.
Good. Well, listen, I know you got a lot on your plate. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Thanks and good luck.
Okay, appreciate it.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thank you for listening, and be sure to visit virginiasports.com for information on football and all our other teams at UVA.